Hello, Audrey. This is your brother, Dick. And there was a squeak at the other end, and she hung up. And I had to do it all over again until her mother had come on the line. I haven't spoken to my mother for about 5 years. And then, in due course, they went to the hospital, and I got to go home.
What did your mother say when she talked? Because she thought you were dead, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. In fact, everybody did. There was no record at all. Except at the Graves and Graveyard Commission, which I had to go and visit in Ottawa on the way home. I had to spend 4 or 5 days. I soon got Ottawa's attention when I stuck my hand out and said, I want practically 4 years back pay, please. And then there was a sucking of breath, and they rushed him out, and I got service. I don't think mothers ever give up. I got home 2-3 days before Christmas, and after the celebration, and boy, it was a celebration, I came on my mother for wrapping up the memorial cross that she had received, and she was posting it back to Ottawa, and she said, I said, what's that? And she said, that's the memorial cross they sent me when you were dead. And nobody had seen or heard of this guy, even up to this moment. It's almost much more complicated to come alive than it is to be dead. So that's a brief story. Is that enough detail for you?
Well, I'm just wondering, one of the things I'm interested in is the relationships that you develop in the camps, and that camaraderie that's, I think, unique.
We were, funny enough, we were taught early on, even before I got into early naval career, they used to say, don't hate your enemy, because it clouds your judgment, and you never know in a democracy when they're going to be your allies. So I didn't. They were nasty guards, and they were good guards, and they were just the same as anybody else, except their standard. You know, they used to, they were smaller than they were, which always made it difficult. They took doing this easier because we were helplessly big fellows. And so they were just, funny enough, of course, 5 years later, the next war came along, and I found myself destroyer going out to Korea, and who was put into the naval base at Sasebo in Japan, and who was cleaning the bottom of my ship, but an ex-commodore from the Navy, my rotten Japanese, we'd had a conversation. So they were on our side.
Were you ill treated in the camp?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, especially if you were in a boot camp, because if one of your guys stepped out of line, you got thumped as well as they did. So, I have more bridges in my top jaw than the CPR. And, they bullied us, but I don't suspect any more than we would have bullied them, was my opinion. It was a hard life because the food was so scarce and so different from what we were raised on. And we were not provided with anything. There was no medical attention. There was no clothing. In fact, I sewed my own shirt and trousers, I was holding curtains towards the end. First thing, you know, and clothes were taken out of the water and soon sort of fell off in old age. So we were not well treated. But it was a pretty beastly act. What to hear about it now.
What kind of food as well? What kind of food did you eat?
Well, you were basic rations, 2 cupfuls of boiled rice per day, one morning and one evening. So you took to eating anything that went by. I think I'd eat just about everything you could think of. There was never enough food. All the things you're supposed to eat, we eat now, we didn't have very little meat. Now and again they would bring in a dead ox, demand the top one. Everything was cooked in a large pot. So it was that kind of life that made it difficult.
Yeah, because you would have had the poor drinking water as well as the insects.
Everything was very sort of like forever being on a picnic. They kept the very end. They fed us quite well just before the end of the war because we were making these engines. Anyway, we used to eat the castor oil, that's where we were growing, so we were growing castor oil up in the hill. And they provided castor oil for the engines we were making. And we used to put it in a bottle and take it back home to eat. So it was back to Camp Barracks to eat. So it was a
nothing.
It was an addition to just make rice. I think that was probably the worst of it, since we never had a square meal. But still, at that age, you know, in the late teens, you really, I wouldn't say you didn't mind, but you could get by. If you were over the age of 25, you had a hard time surviving. That's where the high caste
group was. Do you think that's just because of the 19s in a peak physically?
Yeah, I guess so. In 19, your system can adjust to anything that goes by. At least that's the way it looks like. Like now, the 3 of us that stuck together. British fishermen who I still see in England when I go over there like 3 musketeers, we have fended for ourselves, looked after each other when we got various types of daily fever and everything. So that helped a lot. We stuck together.
Do you remember any funny stories, any incidents that where you managed to get one over on the Japanese?
It wasn't worth getting one over because they always won in the end. Oh yes, there were lots of funny stories. I can't think of them now, but the language differently was
but lots of brutality.
Oh yeah. Just brutality. If you didn't work, you couldn't eat. They wouldn't feed you if you became ill. You couldn't go out to the working party. So that added to the cast of your friends would gather
assuming that there probably weren't any attempts at escape because it was New York Island.
Well, yes, I can tell you some story. Some escape was tried, and they were actually successful. There were two Dutch sailors who had paddled a canoe, or paddled a boat, rowed a boat from Amsterdam to Batavia, all the way around Europe, and we think that they would be best equipped to paddle to Australia from Java. So they up and escaped. No trouble escaping the rooms. The guards would see them just on the barbed wire, usually, and not even that, around your camp, because you were white and the locals didn't sort you out. And that's what they did with these two, despite the fact that they spoke the language, Javanese, of the mayor. And they were turned in by the locals before they could leave the island of Sulawesi. And they were then paraded in front of us all and beheaded, which is not a very pleasant sight. That our certain purpose was only tried. So we understand the Japanese modus operandi, because they, it was impossible to escape on the time the island was falling. And as I say, that was my one experience attempt. It's pretty grisly.
Were you allowed to grow anything? Or was
yes, we used to grow papaya from the seeds around the edge of the camp, but not the harvest, just a few trees. But they're very watery, they'll keep you alive. We did work at one time by a banana plantation. That was extremely very good for our diet, because not only did you eat the bananas, but the flying foxes, you know, those big bats, came every evening to feed on the bananas in the plantation. So we were up very early in the morning before the bats were out of the trees. So we just pulled them down, literally. Now these things have got a wingspan of about 2.5 feet, you know, like that. And they're absolutely delicious to eat. Mind you, they're pretty covered with fleas and stuff, but that was really easy to boil. But the flesh is really just like rabbit. And lived very well for a short time, I think, relatively short time, alongside a plantation. If you're surprised when you eat anything that grew, you ate it.
Bats and bananas.
So you were continually hungry. I guess that was the worst thing. You were endlessly hungry.
And then when you did get into a place where there was food, you tended not to cope with it.
Yeah, eat in bursts, but whenever the opportunity came along. So, I think it served me very well at a young age. I found myself charge of 50 men. I learned a lot about how to command people without the Naval Discipline Act, which stood me in good stead. I tended to become a troubleshooter in the Navy. When we had trouble with the ship, they'd send them along. buzz around the ship pretty quickly. Don't fool this guy, he's been there. He's over. Punch a guy there. Give you 40 days. Labor. You can't do it out from the show club. You say, yes, sir. But generally, that was a great advantage. Begin with, yes, but we were so junior. We just said, sorry, you know. Funny enough, in their Navy, they have the same rank as me, junior. You feel as you're either officer or a man, you're halfway between them, and you train. And so they understood it. We just practiced English and got away with it. You know, I don't think I was crossing them. They were always very used to radar. No one had radar. They didn't have. But they never asked me or my girlfriend to do it. I don't know if you played them. It's easier. I feel it's great.
It does. I'm just in looking back. What would you say the greatest benefit of that period has been? Has it changed you as a human being?
I don't know, but I haven't been a human being very long, but I can tell you nobody could scare me again. Which is great. I mean, took me a good stead.
Very good. Thank you.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.